wasn't hot in here and we weren't sweating.
Yeah, that was nice. Now we're back in the heat wave.
Yep. Welcome to BC is Creepy.
Yeah, I'm Topher Graham.
I'm Ariel Hansen, and this is Bad Cookie Pictures' weekly podcast about creepy things that have happened in British Columbia.
And today, I get to tell you guys about a really cool spooky hike up in Indian Arm.
Spooky hike?
Yeah. So this is the, what I'm going to be talking to you about is the Bunsen Lake Power Station.
Ooh, is it like, is it supposed to be electric ghosts like in those movies where murderers get killed by the electric chair and then they turn into electricity ghosts and then they go and kill people?
No. In fact, I don't really have a recording of a haunting in that building in particular, but it was connected to a lot of other really creepy things, and I'll get into all of those things later.
Okay.
So it was Lower Mainland's first hydroelectric power plant, and it was built in December of 1903 to provide power for the people of Vancouver.
Where is it?
Indian Arm.
I don't know. Where is Indian Arm?
Lake Bunsen? Bunsen Lake? Trout Lake?
Trout Lake area. is in Commercial Drive area.
No.
Is it?
It's like...
Is it north from here?
I don't know.
Okay, so it's somewhere.
It's in the Indian Arm area, which used to be a really bustling town because of this power plant. But I guess it's become kind of a ghost town.
Clearly, if you can't even locate it on a map.
No, I couldn't. I didn't. But it's large Gothic buildings that were built for a staggering cost of $1.3 million in 1903.
Ooh, so, that is pretty expensive.
It operated until 1964. And after that, it just became like a real like hit for haunted hikes.
Mm, okay, so
but what... they've also been used in films.
Yeah.
Including Stephen King's It, Freddy vs. Jason. I gotta be clear. So, Stephen King's It, the TV miniseries.
Okay,
the
Tim
original.
Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as Freddy vs. Jason, Placid, and Roxanne. But the real story comes from The Architect.
Oh, is it like in Ghostbusters where it's some evil dude who like designed the building to bring down the forces of some evil god creature and create a dimensional rift?
No.
I'm just going to keep that throwing movie plots at you until I get it right.
That would be awesome. No, this was Francis Rottenbury. He's a big hotshot, famous for, the Empress Hotel.
Ooh.
The Rowetti House and the Parliament Buildings.
So basically everywhere he built is haunted.
Yeah, that's my story here. Oh. It was actually a big conspiracy, Ariel. I don't give a crap about the Bunsen Lake Power Station. I wanted to talk about Francis Rottenbury, who is, you know... an agent of chaos.
Okay, let's talk about him then.
He was originally from Leeds, England, before emigrating in 1891. And in 1898, he... Actually, you know what? Let's wait for his story.
Okay.
Until we get past, like, talking about Rowetti House and Empress Hotel. Because they all had, like, very different crazy stories.
Yeah.
The Rowetti House is one of my favorite places to go to. It's in Vancouver, just off of Robson.
I don't know.
You've never been?
I've never been in.
It's a, like this rich German family used to live there, and the Rowettis, and they've just kept it restored as like a museum now. But it's haunted by Anna Catherine Rowetti, who was the daughter.
Yeah.
And she was a nurse who, at 28, was killed by Benito Pascal, a mental patient who, like, slashed her neck with a razor.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's, like, something from American Horror Story Season 2. I'm just, I am talking about movies and TV shows so much today. This is weird.
Have you been watching a lot of TV, Ariel?
Maybe. I mean, I did watch, like, a movie on Sunday and a TV show yesterday, and...
You know, when it's like nice out, you're supposed to leave the house. And
my pale complexion can't handle the sun.
That's fair.
I'm scared of sunburns and skin cancer.
Oh yeah, I'm like burnt from like the waist up.
Oh dear.
And I have been like over and over and over again.
So. Ooh.
But he also built the Empress Hotel, which is like hella haunted.
I think we can do a whole episode on that place.
I took a lot of the things and
okay,
and added it into my episode because we've okay. also got like because we've got lots here on Francis himself, but I want to get into that because he's supposed to be haunting the Empress Hotel too. But I don't want to get to his end before we talk about the chambermaid Lizzie McGrath, who fell to her death after stepping onto the sixth floor onto what she thought was the fire escape, but didn't realize that it got, like, removed.
Yeah.
So she's supposedly, like, haunting an elevator or a floor.
Can I give you a story about the Empress Hotel that it's not a Absolutely. Ghost story, but it's, like, weird and fun? So recently it was in the news that a guy who had a lifetime ban from the Empress Hotel, the ban had been lifted.
Yeah.
And do you want to know how he got banned from there?
No. How did he get banned?
So he accidentally left the window open to his room while he was out all day.
Yeah.
And a bunch of seagulls got in and trashed the place.
Oh man. That's not his fault.
I know.
If you can open the windows, you should be allowed to open your windows.
Also, fun fact, my dad used to work there when I was really little.
Oh, man.
So I've been there a bunch.
Did you see any ghosts there?
Nope.
Not even poor little Lizzie McGrath?
Nope. I was also like 4.
That's fair. She supposedly is in her PJs. She'll knock on guests' door, make them follow her, and then disappear once they get to the elevator.
Oh.
And there is a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working on the construction of the building and he hung himself, and after a year another construction worker reported seeing his like apparition hanging like crazy. Does your dad have any stories about the Empress Hotel?
Well, the weirdest thing I think I remember him saying was that they all suspected that the microwave might have been giving off weird radiation in the kitchen because everyone within, like, this time period who had a kid...
Yeah.
It's all girls. And I'm one of them.
All right, so maybe you're part of this, like, weird microwave mutation.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I am. This microwave mutation that just did something to the male sperm and killed it or something.
How many kids was...
I don't remember.
Who knows?
Yeah, but yeah, no, I could ask him if there was anything weird, but I don't think there was, or he would have told me by now.
Surely.
Yeah.
With all your talk of, like, the podcast.
Spooky stuff.
For years. But Francis. Crazy Francis.
So, what can you tell us about this crazy Francis character?
So he was originally from Leeds, England, emigrating in 1891. And in 1898, married his first wife, Florence Nunn, who...
Wait, her last name's Nunn?
Yeah. Except now it's Rattenbury.
I know, but like... How does one get the last name Nunn? Because like a lot of last names had to do with your job. And if you're a nun, you wouldn't really be having kids.
Her family could have been a nun. It's also spelt with 2 N.
Oh. Well, you should have told me that part before I start going off on a tangent and being weird.
I like your tangents. Yeah. And her first name is Florence, so it's very, you know, that's a nunny name. They had 2 kids together, but the marriage crumbled to the point where Rattenbury, like, wouldn't even speak to his wife.
Oh.
Like, sending messages with the daughter, like, can you tell your mother that blah, 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 blah.
Oh, one of those things.
Yeah. And then at the reception at the Empress, he met a young woman named Alma Pakenham. And this, like, destroyed his life.
Oh.
Yeah. So, according to, like, descriptions, she was everything that Florence was not. She had a lovely oval face, deep, hauntingly sad eyes, and full lips, which easily settled into a pout, at once fashionable and sensuous.
So she was a bit of a Skeletor, like deep-set eyes.
I'm thinking like an old movie, black and white, beautiful heiress with like pouty big lips, and she probably had like really big boobs.
Or, yeah, I guess it depends on what time period it was, what was in style.
Fashionable, sensuous, and her husband died in the war.
Oh, so she is a free agent.
A free agent. But this is like 1923, like not even that long after the war, so people are already like scandalized that she wants to like get into a relationship, which of course is like
he's a married man.
Yeah. So, so this is like a really public relationship too. It's really bad. He like moves her into the house. So if you can imagine, he's like on the second floor with his mistress, and then his wife and kids are on the top floor.
Fun.
He's not talking to her, and everybody around him is like talking trash.
Yeah, and meanwhile the kids are like, you're not our mom, you can't tell us what to do to Alma.
Yeah.
Our mom's downstairs, now go away.
Yeah, and oh, it must have been nuts. But Francis and Florence divorced in 1925. And it was written that Francis like treated her terribly, like cut off the heating and the lights when he moved out of the house.
Oh.
Yeah.
And she probably didn't get much in the divorce settlement either.
No, and he was like broke too. Like he's like losing work because all of his friends are like, well, you're treating your wife like crap. You've got this weird like war widow affair. Even though he did marry her after divorcing.
Yeah.
So he married her, and they both moved to Bournemouth, England in December 1928. And the financial problems, like, he still couldn't find work, even back home. And it really became a toll on the new marriage. So Alma kind of started seeing the chauffeur.
Oh my, like in Downton Abbey.
Yeah. He was 17 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, his name was George Stoner. And by this point, they, like, he would have been, like, 60s. Seven.
Whoa,
so
yeah.
She's probably like into her 30s, 40s.
Okay, yeah, no, she needs someone a little more energetic in her life.
Yeah, a wild and passionate love affair.
I mean, she's probably at her prime, and the younger guy's at his prime.
Yeah.
And because it was back then, 17 was probably considered an adult.
Yeah, I mean, it was power dynamics would have been really fucked up. But I think, like, well, they would have scandalized it because she's a woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he 1934 comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And George Stoner is high on opium and drunk on love. That's how I wrote it down on this way. takes a mallet from his grandma's house and smashes it on Francis's head until he's dead.
And Francis is the chauffeur.
Nope, Francis is our hero.
I got confused because I didn't know the chauffeur's had a name.
Yeah, George Stoner.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was like, how is that guy's grandma still alive if he's in his 60s?
No, he's 17.
Okay.
He's 17.
All makes sense now.
And ready to party.
He's ready to start his new life with his sexy older lady.
Yeah. But, you know, they found out. And he was sentenced to hang the next year.
Yeah.
Alma was found not guilty, even though, like, everybody suspects that she kind of, like, pushed him to do it.
Yep.
Because, yeah, it was a scandal. Scandalous family, scandalous people, agents of chaos. So after the verdict, like 6 days after the verdict, she stabbed herself, like, multiple times.
Ooh.
And died.
Oh.
And the ironic part, this is the real Shakespearean twist.
Okay.
George Stoner's sentence was commuted to life, and then he was released 7 years later. So they could have had a happy life together if she hadn't killed herself in true, like, Romeo and Juliet fashion.
Yep. Well, he was probably better off without her, I would guess, if she had egged him on to kill.
Maybe. Although, she would have been, like, a rich...
What? I thought you said that our...
They had a chauffeur.
True.
They didn't have a lot of jobs. And they fought a lot, but, I mean, she would have been richer than him.
That's true, that's true. And she didn't have any kids from the sound of it, so...
No, she had one kid that they were living with. His name was John.
Okay, so I guess there would have been someone who would get her inheritance when she died.
Yes, their tragic, tragic deaths.
Tragedy.
So this fella who designed gothic medieval type buildings and became quite proficient at it, but whose gothic medieval buildings just kept...
I would say gothic medieval isn't quite the right way to describe the Empress.
No.
No. No, because it doesn't have a lot. Like, there's nothing medieval about the Empress, that's for sure. It's very, I guess, at its time in the style.
Yeah. It was his first project. He actually, like, won a contest to make it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And it was built on a landfill.
It had a lot of problems and went, like, hella over budget.
Yep.
And now it's, like, hella haunted.
Yep.
Right on the water of Victoria. You know, Canada's most haunted city.
Yeah. And there's seagulls, too.
Gross.
Yeah.
Seagulls that like to break in and poo.
Yep. Just those dang seagulls putting up that cleaning bill.
Yeah. So, my sources today, Eve Lazarus was a good one for the powerhouse. Wikipedia told me a lot about Francis himself, as well as 604 Now, which taught me a lot about the Rouetty House and Rouetty House Museum's website. I got a little bit about Catherine there.
So, I still have to ask though, why is the powerhouse haunted?
Just Francis. It was a trick. It was an elaborate scheme to talk about this crazy old man. And I wanted to start with a little, like, fun tidbit.
But why would people do haunted hikes there if there's no reason for it to be haunted?
It looks really creepy.
Okay.
It's in the middle of this ghost town. There's two looming, spooky-looking power buildings.
Okay. I guess it's just...
It's just cool-looking.
Just cool-looking. BC is creepy.
But also it's connected to Francis, who's like a crazy wild death.
Just a bit of
death
a...
Death agent.
Death agent?
Yeah. Everything he touched, like, was cursed.
I mean, a lot of buildings have people die in them.
No, but he took these buildings, he designed them, and then, like, they all had, like, huge major tragedies in them. They can't see you crazily shrugging at me, Ariel.
You mean they can't, like, the silence doesn't imply?
No.
Damn. Damn.
You have to tell me, Chris, this is all coincidences. Chris, this
guy's just... I would never just... call you Chris. You know that, Topher.
Yeah. You gotta be, Topher, these are all coincidences. Topher, this is ridiculous.
Topher, these are all coincidences. Topher, this is ridiculous.
There's
Topher...
no such thing as orbs.
Yeah. Yeah, there are no such things as orbs. It's just dust particles.
It's just dust.
And these old buildings have creaky floors and all sorts of strange humming noises and stuff that mess with you.
But how do you describe full-bodied apparitions that interact with people?
Very vivid dreams.
Very vivid dreams.
Sometimes I wake up from dreams and I'm like, did that actually happen? And then I've got memories that I'm like, was that real or did I dream that? I don't know. Oh dear.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, we should probably plug things.
Yes. So we're on every bit of social media now, including Pinterest.
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Vimeo, YouTube. We have a website.
Bad Cookie Pictures. Just look that up. You'll find it.
You'll find us.
Yes.
On Instagram, you can find me personally at Sneezing Wolf.
And I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Hanson's Horror.
And if you like our podcast and what we're doing and want to help support our films, it'd be really great to donate to our Patreon.
Yeah, become our patron. Get some insider views on what's going on. We've created a Discord just for our patrons, and so we're going to be doing things like coordinating movie watching over the Discord, so we'll all be watching a movie together from our different locations and all chatting and riffing on it. We've got other plans. We're going to be doing like polls for topics, maybe, if we get enough suggestions for topics or for films to watch. We're going to take suggestions for questions to ask future guests on our Your Creepiest Corner show. All sorts of stuff.
So yes, get involved. Being interactive with us. We really want to like get out and be part of the community.
Yeah, so go to patreon.com and look up Bad Cookie Pictures. And then, is there anything else we need to talk about?
You could plug Horrible Imaginings. That'll happen before this comes out, won't it?
I mean, after?
Before?
This comes out. You mean this come out before?
Yes.
Yeah, but first, so if you guys have any suggestions for topics, please email us at badcookiepictures@gmail.com. Or if you just want to say hi, tell us a spooky story that happened to you.
Anecdotes, we'd love to hear anything. It.
Yeah, just let us know that we're not talking into the void.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and we do have a couple of festivals coming up, actually, but I do believe the next one to happen will be Horrible Imaginings, which is in Santa Ana in California, and Nepenthes will be playing there.
And I think Women in Horror is before Edmonton International?
It's at the same time.
Same time. So our film Paint the Town Red will be in the Women in Horror Film Festival in... Yeah.
That's in Peachtree City, Georgia. We also have Nepenthes going to this Sick Chick Flicks Film Festival, which will be in Cary, North Carolina.
And The Devil and I will be in Edmonton International end of September, early October. So that's the 26th to the October 6th?
Yeah, 27th. Yeah, 20, one, either September 26th or 27th to October 6th.
Yes.
And we'll be there for that one.
We're going to be traveling to Edmonton.
Yeah, for the world premiere.
Yes.
Of The Devil and I.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks for giving this a listen. And remember,
stay creepy.